This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. The Cambridge Sixers, been and gone, Barry.
Oh, you played the Cambridge Sixers on the weekend. How did that go?
The team were okay. We didn't sparkle. 3-9. On the last round, we were ranked 6th, and then there was a hand which I probably overbid, and we ended up coming 14th. But it was pretty good.
That'd be annoying. Did you go and jump in the river afterwards?
No.
In a hard nap.
I took my free gift and went home. Thank you very much to AFT Pharmaceuticals. They're sponsoring quite a bit in the Waikato.
They are. AFT Pharmaceuticals. Make sure you use them because they're good sponsors of Hamilton Bridge Club tournaments as well.
Perfect. If you want to know what they do, probably most well-known product is Maxigesics. They also have a wide range of medicinal hemp products as well. I can tell you that our team did not win the dress-up. The dress-ups were won by a team that came down from Auckland, and they were dressed as the Teletubbies. The theme was something beginning with the letter T. Trolls were in there, so John Craig and Mary Chamberlain, they had these psychedelic hair wigs on, and all of their team were dressed in bright colours, and they looked pretty cool.
I have to ask you something, because I never saw it. I saw that the winning team was called... It had to be the theme was T, wasn't it? The winning team was called Tina from Turners. Were they all dressed like Tina from Turners? How did that work?
They all had a Turners Car Auction pen, or actually, I don't actually think they were from Tina's Car Auction, but they had on blue polo shirts with Car Bridge on it, and they had a lanyard that had Tina from Turners on it. It was pretty cool, actually.
Well, doesn't Tina from Turners wear a blue T-shirt on TV?
Yep.
I'm just trying to think. I think she does. So. Tina from Tina. We sound like an advertising show. Infomercial here. We're talking about AFT Pharmaceuticals and now Tina from Turners. But anyway, the winning team, that was Aaron Starr and Rob Davies were the open players. Deirdre Oliver and Ross Longney, the intermediate players. And Freddie Chan and Alex Mayer, the junior players. Freddie Chan and Alex Mayer were second in the juniors. Deirdre and
That's
Ross
right.
were third in the intermediates. And Aaron and Rob, 12th in the opens. There you go. They were the winning team. From The Chef was the second team.
That was
Yuzhong's team. Yuzhong Chen and Herman Wan, John Little and Graham Saunders, Bernard Sullivan and William Harlow. Well done to them. How many were there? There were
there was 32 teams. Yep.
Some interesting names. You know, there was everything from Turkish to Light to Teletubbies to the Tennis Ladies. And
that's pretty cool.
I don't know how the Mutton Birds came to be a tea team, maybe because of that.
Oh, in Māori, Mutton Bird is TT, so they met the criteria. Yeah.
Sounds like it was well run as usual and you had a lot of fun.
Yep, we did. We were talking about the 10A that was happening down south. And
that was in Nelson or Richmond Bridge Club, actually.
Richmond, yeah, that's right. The winners of that event was Kate Davies and John Patterson.
Yeah, perennial place getters and winners down there. They moved back to Marlborough. Second were Pamela Dravitsky and Ron Ozaka. Ron, an intermediate player, by the way. Well done,
okay.
Him.
And Biggie Cameron and Merrick Gink, third.
All come all the way from Mount Albert and Dunedin and met in the middle.
The Hokefidu Daffodil charity tournament was played Palmerston North.
So Ken Bateman and Jack James won that. Average of just a touch over 65.
Very nice.
I reckon Anne Gordon and Bob Hurley would have felt a bit aggrieved when they averaged 64.28. That's a big average. And that was only good enough for second. A bit rough.
We've got a question for you, listeners. We've had a look at the Bridge Winners site. And on there is an article introducing the International Bridge Press Association. Now, there is a shout out to people or everybody to consider joining this association, either as an associate or a full member, and it will give you access to a large network of bridge journalists and bridge media creators from all corners of the world. There's some other things that they get, like a monthly bulletin, access to high quality photos, and you can be part of the IBPA awards ceremony. Every year they give out awards in various categories. And we could also be invited to attend their AGM. Now, Barry and I were having a little think, and I said, would we look to join this association? What were you saying, Barry?
More intended for print media, but there's a little thing in there where it mentions at some point involved in bridge media, which would include journalists, podcasters, it says up the top. That's
I
us. We could definitely be in there. I wonder if they'd accept the Bridge Zone as a member, whether
know.
it's got to be a person. What do you think?
Barry did mention to me earlier that it was discussed with him, with our friend from across the ditch, Liam Mill, about having a think about him joining. And guess what he did?
Yeah,
Nothing.
well, so thank you, Liam. If he's listening, he'll be busy, I hope.
He'll
Yeah,
be
so
on his
you're
way to Denmark, funny.
he probably will be. But it does say in there that you are meant to be nominated by a member of the International Bridge Press Association in good standing. So
I
you can't
reckon
just.
the other reason that you probably didn't do anything about it, Barry, is because it's not actually free. You actually have to hand over some dollars.
That would be it.
Yeah, hit the nail on its head, didn't I?
Maybe we'll talk to the boss. We'll talk to Alan Morris while he's still the president and say, look, what about the $48 to make us members of the International Bridge Press Association?
There you go. I'm just wondering whether we actually come into that. I think having 8 years of Bridge Media podcast experience, that could probably get us in the door.
I don't know who's going to nominate us, though, who that member of the Bridge Press Association in good
Yeah,
standing. Or maybe if Liam's forgotten that I didn't do anything last time, he might go ahead.
they'll be so those nutcases. I think it'd be worthwhile because you get access to a whole lot of stuff.
You would. I've got one other thing that happened to me this week that was a bit of a shock to the system, by the way.
Uh-oh,
I've
what
got a
was that?
story to tell.
Okay.
I was sitting down, like I quite often do on a Monday night. Yeah, I was on Bridge Base. I was doing the ECOL tournament that they run that you can
Oh,
enter in.
yeah.
And I my score and it got to the end and I'd done quite well. And it said 69 point something percent. And I thought, that's a pretty good score. And I clicked on the results and it has all your friends' scores on there. And lo and behold, there was this one above me. And it was Zed Mouse. And I know who that is. That's Mariana, listeners. And she got 70%. I thought, God. Right, me did. So I couldn't even beat her with 69.58 or whatever it was I had. It wasn't enough. I'm just surprised that she hadn't mentioned it tonight, but she probably didn't realize that I'd gone in and played it after her.
I don't even know how you do that. So I've never clicked on to see rada 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 rada.
I always do because people I know were playing in it. So if you,
Ah.
well, for listeners who are interested, if you're in BBO, the way to do it is that when you look at your results, it has your tournament results out the side there. When you look under history,
Oh, yeah.
and then you look at the free ECOL individual, so you click on that and it gives you your scores. There's a blue results button and it gives them all. If you scroll down a bit, it has all of your friends, anybody that you know that you are friends with on Bridgebase, and it has all their scores on there. And there I am with 69.82, and there's Mariana with 70.98.
I never looked at that. I'm trying to do good with my Adam Parrish thing to go in and play the three free games. So one of them is the ECOL one. What was the other one? The Just Declare. And there was one more.
There's actually four free ones if anybody's interested.
Okay, what are they?
It's called Free Easy Bridge. It's a daily, and then a free seven tricks challenge that where you always play every
Oh.
hand in one no trump. For all those people that hate one no trump, this is good practice for you. So you get eight hands in both of those. One of them you just try and score as many points as you can. Well, you do on both of them, really. The second one you just try and get as many tricks as you can. Then, of course,
Wow.
there's the free ECOL one that's on. So that's three free ones. And then there's another one, which is the free Just Declare that one that you were talking about.
Right.
That's four. I haven't finished yet, though. Every
Oh.
Sunday, there's a free Super Sunday day long that you can play in. And there's one other. I mean, you can spend your life on here. And this one is, it's under Solitaire, and it's a weekly
Oh.
free instant tournament that you can
Right.
play in. So there you go. Lots of free tournaments on BBO.
I'm not too sure if you've received the latest newsletter from Adam Parrish. It's just popped through not so long ago. There's one that he posted on Saturday about Shark Robot Duplicate One. The website is about Sharkbridge and didn't even know it existed.
He's in Cape Cod.
Is he gets around, doesn't he?
He does. It's a wonder he has time to play bridge. I guess he's playing bridge there.
And where is Cape Cod?
State somewhere, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, Massachusetts. There you
Oh, there you
go.
go.
And what is Cape Cod so famous for? Its unique charm and natural beauty. That almost sounds like New Zealand. Tell you one person that I like listening to. I've done a couple of things for my designing a bridge training program. Leveling up, that's what it was. So part of my regime, like I've mentioned, play three free tournaments daily. The other one was reading and having a look at some bridge content. And so the person that I've jumped on with is Gavin Wolpert. He's pretty cool. He comes up with these interactive problems and he gives them a number. Part of my regime, like I've mentioned, play three free tournaments daily. The other one was reading and having a look at some bridge content. And so the person that I've jumped on with is Gavin Wolpert. He's pretty cool. He comes up with these interactive problems and he gives them a number. And it's really short. The way that he explains it is so cool, Barry. You need to have a listen to it. Pretty cool. Have you ever listened to one of his?
No, I haven't. I've got to confess, I didn't even know it existed.
My name is Gavin Wolpert. I was born in Toronto, Canada, to a bridge playing family. I've lived in Toronto and trained on the Canadian Junior Bridge team and then moved now to Florida, where I live with my wife and my three kids playing professional bridge.
Okay, listeners, I have the start of Gavin Wolpert's interactive problem. I know it's quite difficult to picture the hand. Just look up Gavin Wolpert interactive problem number two. You'll get the idea of what I was talking to Barry about.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the second interactive problem. I got great feedback on that first problem. Here's problem number two. So if you're watching this on YouTube, so you can actually play the deal yourself on my website on wolpertbridge.com, you can click the link in the description on YouTube. And if you're already on wolpertbridge.com, just click that play all hands button on the side. The bidding starts pass from north, partner. Our right-hand opponent opens a heart, and we overcall the spade, and the opponents jump to four hearts. Now, four hearts in this auction is usually showing a five-card support and a weak hand. So North was under a bit of pressure. They had to kind of decide now or never whether they're supposed to support us in four spades. And obviously, 9 points isn't enough to go to game opposite a one-level overcall. Preempts do their job. We don't have a way to make a simple raise or any kind of good raise for partner. We have one choice. Do we bid four spades or do we not bid four spades? It's so important that a hand that's close with an unmentioned fit takes the push and supports partner, because if North doesn't support, if it goes pass-pass, South has no concept here that they are supposed to bid again. They would just automatically pass four hearts. They overcalled a spade, their partner didn't support them. They have an opening hand, so they would have just left four hearts. It's always up to the supporting partner to make that a little bit aggressive bid to show their support. And honestly, North has a really strong hand in the context of the fact that no partner probably has a singleton heart because they've jumped to four hearts. And that means the ace king of clubs are good cards. The queen of spades, they know, is a great card. So sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and take the push. And that's what partner did on this hand. They led the ace of hearts and it went low. And they followed with the king and we played low. And now they played another heart. We're kind of happy about that, them playing another heart. It would have been a little bit more uncomfortable for us on this hand if they had shifted to diamonds. So our goal is to take 10 tricks, and if we count our tricks on this hand, we have five spades and a diamond. Two clubs is eight, but we need two more tricks. So where are those two tricks coming from? The diamonds have some small potential for an extra trick, but not two extra tricks, unless we were incredibly lucky. But the club suit has a lot of potential for an extra two tricks. It's an eight card fit. So if the clubs are breaking 3-2, we have four potential club tricks. We just need to be able to set up the clubs, draw trumps, and go to dummy. So let's look at this from two angles.
Let us know if you enjoyed Gavin Wolpart's clip. Bridgezoneshuffle at gmail.com.
I'm glad we got to go over some bridge stuff. See you next time.
hey, I flicked an email off to Bridget asking her if she's got time to have a catch-up with us.
This is Bridget Hannaway, the Congress organiser. Just a quick look online at the entries for New Zealand Congress. There are actually 45 teams entered in the open, the New Zealand teams. And between the open pairs and the restricted pairs, there's about 40 tables between the two of them. I think about 23 in the open and 17 in the restricted open.
We'll be catching up with Bridget later on this week, and she'll give us the update on the happenings for Congress in Palmerston North this year. She'll be coming on the show next week.
Hear ye, hear ye. The court's in session. The court's in session now. Here come the judge.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. We've got a great question for you today.
I'm terrified.
It was from a novice group, and West opened the bidding one diamond. North overcalled one spade, and East bid two diamonds. South responded two spades, and it goes past by West. The stage, it looks pretty normal. But then East decided they wanted to compete to three diamonds, so they bid three diamonds while North was still thinking about their bid. Now, North was thinking of bidding three hearts because they had five spades and five hearts, or possibly three spades. Then they looked up, and the hand on their left had bid three diamonds. Their partner had passed. Are they allowed to pass when you want to bid?
Yes. What? Well, they've done that thing that I actually recommend to a large number of people that you don't do, and they've accepted the opponent's call. When they pass, the auction proceeds normally. All right?
Normally.
Because they've accepted the three diamond call. Now, the thing here is, one of the things is that it's good to get your groups calling the director. I know there is a thing of various clubs about not calling the director, but when you can, if you've got a group that's all novice, it's a good place to start, because we can explain about what they might like to do rather than just applying the law. And as you will know, because of all the questions you asked me, there are a lot of things to consider about when things go wrong. So my strong recommendation to new players, call the director. The people at the table often think they know what the story is, but they get it wrong. So call the director. The second one is, if your opponents do something wrong, don't accept it. You haven't done anything wrong. If anything goes wrong, don't accept it. And then the director will come. They will explain all the stuff. And if you're pretty new, if it's an appropriate session, they can explain what you might do or not do with a bit more clarity. If it's a normal session, they can come back to you later and talk to you about the situation. It's all about learning. When your opponents do something wrong, don't accept it. Not your fault. It's theirs. Okay. And if you do something after someone's done it out of turn, if they lead out of turn or whatever, if you play a card or if you make a bid or a pass or anything, you are accepting what's happened. And it's too late. So please, call the director.
I'll tell you, Jenny and I are at the table with Patrick and Julie. I think quite often they'd like to leave me out of the bidding on a round or two, but that, the good news is they're not allowed to.
Well, the good news for us is that we're not allowed to, sorry. I'm not too sure if it's good news for Jenny.
So after, hang on, so as North and you've missed out your bidding and three diamonds gets called by your left hand and your partner passes, can I call the director then?
Yes, you can, because something's gone wrong and you should call the director then.
And the director will come along and in this instance will say, sorry, but your partner has accepted the bid.
Yeah, but at least you've still got another bid here. And then you can have discussions with your partner about calling the director. All right. So the clubs that are lucky enough to be able to run novice and, you know, introduction sort of style play groups or supervised duplicate, all of those things, have opportunities to get people to call when things go wrong, and then they can explain. There are a lot of things about this, about what happens next, that we just don't get a chance to explain to people when they suddenly get thrown into the deep end. And it actually makes things worse because it just feels unfair and it's overwhelming. So if we have the opportunity, if we get them people to call, then we get the chance to explain what they should do, not do, and how it impacts them.
Well, really, we should be getting the director to the table as often as we can at these groups, because it's a good learning curve.
Yeah. In all fairness, you need someone that is going to be friendly, If you've got someone that is off-putting, then maybe not quite so much. But if you're the teacher, even that is, I've been getting calls on revokes and things. And it's just a thing of don't touch your cards. Call the director, wait for them to arrive. Director will go through. And when they say, just keep playing, you learn that it's right to just keep playing because it gets fixed at the end. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot of stuff that is a really good place to learn if you can manage to do it that way.
Awesome.
Okay. Thank you for that. We'll see what we can come up with next week.
I can hardly wait.
Okay. Thank you, Jules.
Right, bye.
I see on New Zealand Bridge, there's a report there on a New Zealand Bridge Youth Bridge Weekend that has just been held at the end of July. It was organised by Jack James and Sam Coots, and they had 44 players.
That's pretty good.
That was a good number. Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest youth weekends they've had, and they had players there from Invercargill to Whangarei. So well done them, and let's hope they all keep on playing. So now you were telling me you were watching Seven Sharp the other night.
I was, from the Kaikoura Bridge Club. It was pretty good. My husband yells out, hey, here's a bridge club. He said they had a 102-year-old that still plays. That's fantastic.
Okay. I think I did actually catch that. I did look at that and think, God, it's a pity they weren't reporting on the youth weekend at the other end of the scale. That would have been excellent publicity for Bridge. I suppose it's better to get on there than not.
Actually, you're not wrong. And he said, do you know anybody there? And I said, oh, yeah, I know that person there. And it was Pam Whitehead. So what a great article.
Okay, so do you think you'll still be playing Bridge at 102?
I think this body would have given up by then.
Yeah, no, I can't personally see me making it to 102. But if I do, I'd like to be still playing Bridge. That would be good. Yeah. Thing is, you know, even if things were really bad and you'd lost your marbles, I hope Jill doesn't think that I'm saying that about her. At 102, you probably couldn't tell the difference. Apparently, Jill's still doing pretty well.
Right.
Because that is the snag with Bridge, isn't it? That if you start to deteriorate and you start playing worse, it becomes pretty obvious when people see your results. There's nowhere to hide at the Bridge table.
Right. I know that Judge Julian Bailiff, they leave this week going over to Denmark. I know some other people have already left on their way. I'm pretty sure that Brian Mace has already found his way over to Denmark. Good luck to everybody.
Good luck to everyone. So the Open women's, mixed and seniors teams, along with a few NPCs that are going to be over there. It'll be a decent old entourage from New Zealand. How many people's that? 7, 14, 21, 27 people will be there. Good luck to them. We can get our name up in lights somewhere.
Fingers crossed, Judge Julian Bailiff will be able to find some time to speak with us and give us a rundown on what's happening. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away. My question this week is, when the opponents open with four spades, I've got an opening hand, and I would really like to play in one of the other three suits. Is there anything you can do?
Well, for a start, if you think you want to be playing at the five level, you better have a bit better than an opening hand.
Oh, really?
You're not going to do this with a 12 count, usually. Unless it was a very, very special 12 count, where you've got two really long suits, 6-5 or something. Yep. You might decide you want to take action. Back in the old days, not so very long ago, people used to pretty much play that double was for penalties of four spades. Four no trumps was for takeout, for partner to bid something. So that would have been the hand that you're talking about with three suits. But these days, people have decided that a penalty double of four spades doesn't come up that often. Not a lot of room, as you say, when they open four spades, they've taken all of the damn room. So all you've got left is double, four no trumps, and bid. A lot of people play that double is, it's still sort of more or less a takeout bid of four spades, but probably does suggesting something in all three suits. But if partner has a pile of junk and no long suit or anything, if they decide to pass four spades doubled, you've probably still got a reasonable chance of beating it, and now they're doubled. So So double is sort of takeout, but if you don't really have a clear action to take as the responder, you're allowed to pass it and hope that that's the best result you can achieve. So that leaves four no trumps. So four no trumps now, you won't have that hand with all three suits. Four no trumps tends to be you've got two long suits, sort of like a Michael's cue bid for those that play Michael's. So partner bids the lowest suit that they have sort of tolerance for, because these suits will usually be at least five cards long. If you can tolerate clubs, you bid five clubs. If you can tolerate diamonds first, but not clubs, then you bid five diamonds. If you just got long hearts, well, bid five hearts then. There is one other thing that responder can do, and I don't want to complicate this too much, is that if it goes four spades double and responder has two different suits they can play in, they can bid four no trumps for partner to bid their suits up the line, their longer suits up the line. So it's all a bit complicated, but it gets very tricky when the opponents open four spades.
It does.
I don't know. Perhaps it should be illegal.
It almost sounds like a sick bird.
Maybe our new head director needs to be consulted on it. Have you seen our new head director?
I have. How about that? Matthew McManus.
I don't know when he takes over the job. Matthew McManus.
So we have an expat Australian as the NZB head director.
Oh, we won't hold that against him.
Does that mean he can still go swanning off to Australia and do his thing? Or will be too busy? I like Matthew, actually. He's always been very pleasant to me and don't mind catching up with him.
Do you think they should take his passport off him now that he's got this job? Is that what you're trying to suggest?
Yep.
He could just be restrained at the border.
That's right.
So there's a few new people there. These are the new appointments.
Barry's reading off the latest chairman report. So you need to get in there and read them. There's some good stuff in there.
Quite a lot in there. So if you look on the front page of NZ Bridge and scroll down a few events, you see Alan Morris's latest report. And just one other thing might interest the listeners is the Fair Play, which used to be called the Conduct and Integrity or whatever committee. The chair, I don't think she's going to be there forever, but it's going to be our own Julie Atkinson. Judge Julie is going to be the chair. Also got Stephen Henry and Brad Johnston on there.
We should get Kate Terry on. She's the chair of Online and Surveys. You know, the NZB take.
She's also there on marketing as well, actually, Kate Terry's. Yeah, she's donating a lot of her time to New Zealand Bridge.
That sounds like a plan. Awesome. Well, that's about it for this week. Take care, everybody.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring Bridge from beginner to international nationwide.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.